At this time, we will have a charge to Dr. Knodel. Now, we think of charging our phone, and that's where you plug it in using a USB cable these days, and the electricity goes in and powers it up. Well, I hope that he will be powered up. But the use of the word charge here is giving him, laying out his responsibility. Don't think that we are picking on him. For you as a congregation, we'll be getting a charge in a moment. But I will yield this to Mr. McCracken, Pastor Andy McCracken.
In our directory for church government, we're instructed when we have either an election for officers or when the church or we ordain or install a man, we do that within the context of a worship service. I don't know if you thought about why we do that, but that's not particularly mandated in Scripture that we do so. But because worship of God seems to set our minds in the right mode for the significance of what's happening. And you've been serving here, in a sense, as their pastor for some time. But this is a particular time when really the church sets you apart for that purpose. And so the installation of a pastor is an act of the presbytery by which they publicly declare this relationship that now exists between a man and a congregation, a relationship of particular shepherding care. And tonight we've been, you've been installed as an under-shepherd of Christ to care for these particular saints. And it's no small thing that God is zealous for his church. The people for whom his son died, that's a big thing. It's no light thing that you are to officially be charged with the task of caring for God's people. So worship of God reminds us that we're servants within his kingdom. We're not trying to find the best leadership we can find for some sort of business organization or something like that to see institutional advancement. We're trying to find a caregiver for God's people. And probably the greatest reminder of that, to me at least, of the importance of what you're being called to, I think, is found in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. When Paul's speaking to the Ephesian elders that have gathered that evening, and he says to them this: "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." That's an amazing thought, to care for the people for which he gave his own blood. Paul acknowledges that the Holy Spirit was the one to make them overseers. He then reminds those overseers that they are to care for those Christ obtained with his own blood. And when God himself entrusts something of that value to your care, you ought to feel the weight of that responsibility. Tonight I want you to think briefly of how God wants those who shepherd the flock of God to do that work. What's involved in shepherding? And I'd like to take the lessons on the care of sheep from God himself as he gives it to us in the Word. As you know, the days of Abraham were filled with people who had to take care of sheep. It was a regular type of activity. Shepherding is very common in the survival of the day. And so the illustrations which God uses to speak to God's people back then were often the picture of caring for sheep. And it's to the care of God's chosen people that the shepherding sheep is most often linked. And so when God spoke through his prophets, or he addressed the kings or the other leaders of the people, he used this illustration of what it was like to shepherd sheep. And sometimes they're commended for how they did that. Sometimes they did that well. Other times they were rebuked for how they did that very poorly. But in either case, you can learn what they should have been like, what the shepherds were doing well, what they were not doing well. And I just want to use four brief passages tonight as God spoke through the prophets, particularly from the Old Testament, to instruct us on what caring for sheep is like, what for the church of God, what a pastor should do. The first one is taken from Zechariah chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. And here I would say a good shepherd feeds the flock. "For behold, I am raising up in the land a shepherd who does not care for those being destroyed, or seek the young, or heal the maimed, or nourish the healthy, but devours the flesh of the fat ones, tearing off even their hooves. Woe to my worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye, lest his arm be wholly withered, his right eye utterly blinded." It's obviously a negative illustration. Not calling us to be like that, but obviously it's a negative example. But the indictment clearly tells us what the shepherd should have been about, what they should have been doing. where these wicked shepherds did not care for those who were being destroyed. A good shepherd will care for those who are being destroyed. He knows that some of the behaviors of the people that he oversees in his congregation, their behaviors are actually detrimental to their spiritual health at times. And he cares for them. He intervenes where possible to stop that kind of behavior. Where these wicked shepherds did not seek the young, this shepherd does. I think it's important that we not neglect the young members of the church. It's appreciated Phil's interaction with the children. A shepherd does not neglect even the little ones. And then from the passage is that he heals the maimed. Again, those in the church whose habits or behaviors, their direction that they're thinking have been doing them harm, he seeks to intervene to help them heal. And he points them, of course, to Christ to do that. Christ is the one who brings that healing. He gives practical help for people who are actually struggling and encouragement along the way as they do that in their healing process. And then finally, from that particular portion, he nourishes the healthy. Now, clearly not all of the work that a shepherd does or that a pastor does is negative. It's not always corrective. Sometimes it's purely really nourishing the flock and giving them what they need. Not all of your work is going to deal with sickly people or corrective kinds of work, the wandering sheep. A pastor must take great care that the believers, Christ lovingly died for, that they might live, are being nourished, they're being fed. And you must take seriously that passage that often calls elders to be those who are apt to teach. This involves a variety of well-rounded diet for the whole counsel of God. And so be about that work. Secondly, let's say a good shepherd pursues the wandering sheep. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12 says this: "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered." I think there's two applications, or two ways of looking at how that happens, how we go after the wandering sheep. Of course, the first way you might think of is in terms of church discipline. If you find a sheep who is wandering from the straight and narrow path, when an elder sees that a member of his flock is wandering or that some evil influence has caused that person to separate themselves from the body or to scatter from the church, this shepherd will intervene. He will rescue. He will go and find. And that begins, I think, really with church discipline begins with pursuit, not with a whip. Church discipline is an act of love and begins with finding of the individual, having a conversation, listening to that individual and understanding before slapping the wrist, as it were. Sometimes that takes simply searching out and seeking, but generally it takes just time and effort to go to those who are in danger of being separated from Christ's intended fold, the church. And those who have been scattered by something. Something has caused that sheep to wander from the good place that they have been in, and it's essential that the elder understand the cause of people's being scattered in order to help them address their fears or their errors with biblical truth. That's one way to look at it, is in terms of seeking out those who are scattered in the sense of discipline. But the other way, of course, is very relevant to your situation here as a church plant. And that is that it's a sense of evangelism, that there are some sheep out there who don't even know they're sheep. As Phil had said, they're out there in this community that God has given you to be ambassadors to, and you're to go out and find these lost and scattered sheep. This is the sense in which these individuals really need rescue. They're elect, and yet they're lost currently, without hope, without God in the world, and they're looking for someone to help, and they wait the good news. It's these that an elder must search for and seek out. And as Jesus pursued the lost with the good news, he said that's why he came. So must you. No pastor, I think, of a church ought ever to lose that hope and that desire to be seeking the lost. That's what God calls his church to be about, and the pastor models that for the church. As he came to seek and save that which was lost, so must his under-shepherds. And of course, every believer is to do it, but you model that. So that's the second thing. The third thing I want to talk about is a good shepherd leads gently. Gently. Anticipating what the Messiah would do when he came, Isaiah the prophet said in chapter 40, verse 11, He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. That's a beautiful picture. I love that as a pastor trying to teach me how to be a pastor with people. How this passage of what Jesus does with those that are his, it's how God says Jesus will tend his flock. He gathers them in his arms. He carries them close to his bosom. What a sweet picture of Christ's care for us. That's genuine love. He loves his sheep. That's how he treats both those sheep that are behaving themselves, that are healthy sheep, as well as those that are wandering and are hurting themselves. He gathers them and he carries them. He leads them gently. I think the goal of any elder, any pastor, is for caring of the people that God has entrusted to him with the same love and gentleness that Jesus would show. Does that rule out discipline entirely? Obviously not. Especially those cases where rebuke and censure are needed. Certainly not. It means that when those hard actions are going to be taken, they're taken with a heart that loves the individual who's lost or wandering and needs discipline. The elder communicates with and leads the flock with a loving gentleness. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, right? It's something that must be present in the life of a pastor. And then finally, and of course there's many things we could talk about, and this one's obvious, but a good shepherd is regular in prayer. It's not put in this passage I'm going to read to you very gently. Sometimes we need to hear it straight out to us because we're busy and we let things slip. We need to hear it straight. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 20 and 21 says it pretty straight. Listen again. God says, "My tent is destroyed and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me and they are not. There is no one to spread my tent again and to set up my curtains. For the shepherds are stupid and they do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, they've not prospered and all their flock is scattered." It's pretty straightforward. If a pastor is to be about the work of dealing with the scattered, he's got to inquire of the Lord. That's to say, he has to pray. He has to seek God's guidance in all that he does. And going back to this worship service that we're in the midst of here, as a reminder that this is his work. That's why we're doing this. The care of the sheep is his business. Ultimately, any pastor is only an under-shepherd to the great one who is the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And I've kind of coined a phrase here. Pastors are really overseers. Under-overseers. You can use that if you want to. And since we know that God is the one who ultimately truly cares for the flock, the members of the congregation, and he cares to feed their souls and heal their spiritual wounds and keep them from wandering off the path, it's absolutely essential that the pastor regularly seek him to know what he wants done with his people, to help him in prayer. And this is what God calls for in anyone that would serve in that role. So here it is briefly. An awareness of people's needs so as to nourish them, to encourage them, to help them heal if they need to feed that. As a discerning shepherd, he feeds all the flock the right diet. And then, secondly, he must also be a search and rescue man. He both disciplines the wandering and he seeks out the lost with the good news of the gospel. To both, the word of God is the means to rescue. And third, he must be the one who deals with all people, young and old, male and female, with gentleness. The kind of one that really wants to hold them and be caring for them. That picture is just a beautiful picture. And finally, he's a man who knows he's dependent. He's not independent. He depends upon Christ. So he prays. He leans upon Christ. So may God bless you and your pastoral care of these saints, the dear people whom God will bring to you, for whom he died with his own blood.